Welcome to our podcast. This is Victor Fonov, and I'm the lead pastor here at Whitefields Church. Our focus is to help you grow relationally and spiritually. Enjoy the message.
Amen. Good to be back, church. Come on, children, you're free to go. Hallelujah. Man, I thank God for amazing Sunday school teachers. I thank God for Miss Tristan, Miss Vera, Miss Janet, just putting in time into our children. It's a wonderful time. Amen. Oh, God is good. Amen. Yeah, I'm very excited. I'm very happy to be back. There's no place like home. Man, and I hope the best way you can show me some love and help me preach today. How about that? I love that about our church. I love that Pastor Sid, when he came into this church, he set a standard about being engaged in the sermon. And one thing is I noticed, one thing that I missed, and despite of the big, huge church that I got to minister in front of, the engagement, it's pretty quiet. And I talked to their leadership. I'm like, man, I have quite a smaller church, but man, our people are engaged when it comes to delivering the word, when it comes to worship. We've been through series of just worshiping warrior. For those that have missed, man, go online and re-listen what it means to be a worshiper. Why are we expressive with our worship? If you're still standing and you're like, I'm awkward during worship, then listen to the sermons, and I pray that the Lord would just reveal himself to you in such a deeper way that you understand that God is worthy of all my emotions. For all the things that he has done in my life, he's worthy to be praised. Amen? Hallelujah. Real quick, I want to point out akvoter.com. So all across our nation, obviously, the reality is this. We need to, Christians need to vote. They need to be engaged. And sad thing is half of Christians do not vote. And the thing is, if you are following the scripture, if you're reading the word of God, you will vote according to the word of God. And to me, sometimes it's scary. Sometimes you look at it like in somebody who claims to be a Christian, but for example, they're okay with homosexual marriage or abortions. Those things are not political issues. Those things are biblical issues. So, I'm just wondering what Bible are you reading then in that case, right? But scripture says, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says that if my people who are called by my name, it's addressing only Christians, right? Just saying if only God's people did their part, if only they just spoke or acted upon what they believe, then they can transform their city. It says God will hear from heaven, and he will, if they will turn away from their wicked ways, see God, he will heal from heaven, and he will heal their land. This scripture is addressing us Christians. So I just challenge you to please pray and get involved and go out there and pray and seek the word. When somebody says just go out there and vote, that's the dumbest statement ever. You got to think about what you're doing. You got to think through. If you're not sure, study. Because the truth shall set you free. If you're not sure, just study. Read about people. Talk to people that know. You can talk to me. I'm always welcome. Feel free to blow up my phone and talk to me. Have a dialogue with me about any of the questions you may have, right? That's just not, we have to be involved as believers, as Christians, because we get to impact our city. Amen. That has always been true all throughout history. God's people, kings and prophets alongside, I want to point that out. When somebody brings up separation of church and state, I want to bring that up. Did you know that the law is not talking about separating the church from the government? It's that the government, read in the law, it's actually addressing that the government will not enter in church. That's the separation of church and state, okay? Because the government does not have the right to dictate the church what to do, okay? The church is a living, breathing body of Christ, amen? So I just want to point that out. So if you're wondering, just if you want to read about candidates, akvoter.com, they did a great job. You select your region, and you just choose where your region and read about the candidates. They said, this is where they stand, and it shows a various questions just about them, like, hey, where do you stand on this? Where do you stand on that? And it says people that answered, and it shows people that did not answer, or people says yes or no. And you get to just read through that and decide for yourself, and you'll be like, huh, you'll be amazed how much you can learn by simply just paying attention to who you're voting for, right? So I just wanted to throw that out there. In regards to us. I want to just to go back. I thank you, Denali, for bringing that up. Adult Teen Challenge, men's and women's centers. They're so, I have such a deep heart for the people like that in our community because, you know, Denali just brought up a perfect example. People be going through programs for years, 20, 30 years. That is not freedom. That is continuous, seems like struggle. You know, when the Lord says, you know, when Jesus comes, he comes to set the captives free, right? He comes to set people free. And I believe in these kind of programs. And I love the fact that the leadership that there is right there right now, we got to witness that. Pastor Randall, his wife Clarissa, they're just working their heart out and they're overseeing this. And I believe in sowing into that. So I just bless you in that. If you don't want to, there's an option to buy a table. I don't know what the price is. Or you can go individually. That's like $75, but it's a full course meal and stuff like that. Now, all this money is not just, you know, this is going into, we can go to a restaurant and pay like $90. But this, you're going, you're getting a dinner. On top of that, you're sowing into these amazing people that are that find their freedom in Christ, only in Christ alone, amen, and not nowhere else. So I just thank God for that. I just challenge you to do that. So that's my major plug in the beginning. God is good. Amen. God is really good. And I, let's just take this moment and pray that the Lord would speak to us today. And he does, but I want to come against any plans of the enemy, any kind of thing. Because anytime God's word is being sent, there's always birds that are trying to pluck and take it out, get distractions, phone. If you need to put your phone on silent, you know, we'll do like an airplane, like please, they used to shut off the phones, like place your phone on airplane mode. How about that? So we can hear from the Lord. Amen. Because I'm telling you, anytime therefore goes, oh, God's word is speaking, being spoken, enemies right there to take that. How many times I can just count, like both on my hands and feet and more, where I've received the word from the Lord and I drive out there and I immediately am tested with it and I'm so quick and I can lose that word because the word of God is true, and but we need to put it in the good soil of our heart, our mind, right? So let's just come right now and just shut off a lot of the stuff just that are distractions. Don't worry, you will have food to eat afterwards. The Lord will bless you. God will never forsake his children, right? Or his children asking for bread. So Lord, we come together right now. Lord, we surrender our thoughts and our mind, Lord, before you, Lord. And we say, Father, have your way. Speak to us, Lord. I just pray, I come against all plans of the enemy that would be destroyed in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you deliver the word, whatever is needed, Lord, to every heart, Lord, so we could be transformed because you are calling, Lord, the body of Christ to be without a blemish, Lord. You're preparing your body of Christ, even though there's no perfect church, but you are perfecting the church. So, Father, I pray with that being said, help us realize that we are a body and of a living temple, living body of Jesus. So, Lord, we are the body of Christ. And, Father, I pray that you speak to us deeply in Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right. I'm going to read a couple of psalms to open it up. Psalm 139. I love this out of New Living Translation. I don't often use it, but I just love that Psalm 139, how it's written. Psalm 139. All right. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. That's alone, just like, ugh. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel, when I rest at home. You know everything I do. Did you notice? Like, if somebody else was to say, like, I know everything you do, we'd be pretty creeped out, right? But did you notice that when it's coming from God, it's coming with love? And it's like David's like having this dialogue, right? He says, you know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. I mean, this whole psalm is so beautifully written. So God knows everything. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door and shut off your phone, pray to your Father who's in the secret place. I had to put that in because, you know, how many times I came into seeking the Lord. I'm like, Lord, I'm coming to seek your face. Lord, you are good. I'm not going to answer that. It's the vibrate, you know, silent. Airplane mode's good. Although if you're connected to Wi-Fi, your message is still going to connect if you're an iPhone user. Just throwing that out there as a free tip. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, Okay, there's something significant. It's shutting the door to the distractions of everything, right? It says, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Notice again, that's talking about everything being shown, right? Exposed, right? But notice we're not feeling, if it's coming from somebody else, we're not even like creeped out by it. Like it says, and the Father who sees and receives whatever is in secret will reward you openly, right? Last several weeks, we've been talking about how the Lord is the best place to come and pour out your complaints, pour out everything, right? David talks about, before you, I pour out my complaint, right? I cry out loud. There's a lot of reference to actual physical expressions, crying out loud to the Lord, because people a lot of times asking like, why do we have to express? God hears us. There's numerous scriptures, like at least over 50, I can guarantee, that talks about specifically expressing, being out loud before the Lord, pouring out your complaint and stuff like that. Because we do that with everybody else, right? It seems like we do it with everybody else except God. We're like, we'll pour out everything before everybody else except God. But when it comes to God, it's like we have this notion as if like, I don't know. There's certain things that belong to the Lord and certain things that don't, right? Today's title of my message is Revealed by the Concealed. I pray that the Holy Spirit really speak with us with love and reverence, because anytime when God speaks, he doesn't just stand there. We have this impression sometimes like a God, or like as if like a mom with a, or like a Mexican mom with a chancla, like just ready to strike you and swipe you, you know. God sees us, right? All of it, all of us, everything. He sees every one of our actions, but he's standing there gently at the door. That's why he's saying, he's like, he's standing gently knocking and saying like, who will hear my voice? He's so tender. And the Holy Spirit, when he comes to our life, he doesn't come through like bashing through like, that's it, putting a gun to your head, surrender everything. No, he says, how much are you willing to surrender? How much am I willing to go with God to experience God? Our relationships, and just like a relationship with God, you get out of it what you put into it. Amen? So God sees what's in his secret. He'll reward you openly. Okay? I want to share some principles from my own life and my own journey of faith. And I believe, I mean, these things were foundational to me. And I believe maybe if some of them can become foundational to you in your life. But for the longest time, I was under this impression that God notices me in church for some reason. Did you notice that you're living your life and all of a sudden you become before the Lord and you're like, like, we have this kind of thing, right? We remember Saul. So for the last many weeks, we talked about, you know, David, and he was running away from this man Saul, like King Saul. And I want to bring him up for our discretion today, for us to consider. We remember him, a man who God chose, okay? Saul wasn't just a random person. He was actually chosen by God. He was considered the first king, right? But oddly, the Bible only talks about him in a negative light. Did you notice that? Out of six chapters in 1 Samuel, only one chapter speaks of Saul in a positive light, which is that he is God, God's chosen, right? He's God's anointed. He didn't come up with that title for himself, right? God found him and told Prophet Samuel about it, like, hey, there's a man, you need to go out there and seek him and then, you know, anoint him. Now, what troubles me is despite the fact that he was God's anointed, God sends Samuel later on saying, God regrets it now. It's a very, very, very interesting moment, and very, you know, it should make us alert and be, you know, just concerned. How could that happen? God anoints somebody and then God says, I regret it. 1 Samuel 15 verse 11, this is where it comes from. I regret I have made Saul king because he has turned away from me. There's a because, right? Turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. Samuel was angry and he cried out to the Lord all that night. You know, Samuel, obviously rightfully so, like, Lord, this is it. Like, Actually, originally, God always wanted to be the king of Israel. He always wanted to be. But all other nations had kings, and they were like, we won't be like everybody else. And God's like, all right, you want to be like everybody else? You can have it, right? But yet again, there's always human ways, and a lot of times what we build in our ways doesn't turn out to be the way we expect it to be, right? But here, like, even Samuel was like, I cannot believe this is happening, right? He cried out to the Lord all night. If you're a believer and love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, as scripture tells us, right? If you believe that God has a call upon your life, the devil will do everything he can within his power from serving, so you could not serve God wholeheartedly. Because the moment you accept the Lord, you're carrying that treasure within yourself, that earthly vessel, that treasure of God, that is eternal. That is so special, right? And oftentimes we just forget about those things that are the most profound things in our life. And so many times in the scripture, right, it refers to we need to remember. And at the end, I'm going to read a passage for you from a church of Ephesus that really warns us about those things. But everything we do, anything when it comes to God, devil's out there just to try to deter us, to destroy, to steal immediately away from what God has placed in your heart. Pastor Mark brought up a perfect example. There's a prompting, it happens, and you're like, you immediately go and you place it on, you know, like, I need to do it. Like, even on this trip, like, I was just at the church and I'm like, the Lord placed on my heart to give a certain amount each service. And I mean, like, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday, two services, the Lord just placed on my heart in the beginning. And for some reason, I had no problem giving. And the last day, on the second service on the Sunday, I'm like, technically, it's the same day. I'm like, all of a sudden, starting to walk, talk myself out. Like, yeah, like, just like, yeah. But that, you know, God places something on our heart. And all of a sudden, you're having, like, if you're struggling that with that, I'm just letting you know that is from God. If you ever are considered, like, Lord, you just had a prompting, like, give or bless somebody. Or like, yes, I'm going to just trust God this year like never before. I'm going to do it. As soon as you'll say that, and if you hear all these various reasons like why you should, I guarantee it's from God. I don't know what it was. I did it for all these days, but last day I'm giving the same amount, and all of a sudden it's like, oh. It's the little things. It's like 100% is happening, but then that last, the devil just doesn't want you to receive that full blessing because you're trusting God with that word. And I'm telling you, and the moment I did it, I was like, poof. I just felt the weight come off me, and I'm like, yeah, praise God. Something shifted. So anyways, I'm just telling you, the devil is right there. Anytime you begin serving God wholeheartedly, you notice that the moment you begin to make a plan and you're saying, Lord, okay, I'm going to go to bed earlier so I wake up a little bit earlier, and I'm going to start reading the scripture in the morning. I'm going to designate 5 minutes. The moment you make that decision, devil's out there like in the morning, like, oh, you need that extra sleep few minutes. I'm telling you, it's sacrifice. Difference between a person flying in the back of the seat, I love Pastor Vlad's example, or regular cabin versus the person that's flying business class is the price that they paid. You want to be close to the captain? You have to pay the price. You want to be closer to God to spend some more time with him? You have to pay the price. You have to be willing to pay. Right? Sacrifice. It means something to us, right? When the woman brought those, she bought the precious oil and she brought that and she broke it before Jesus. Everybody's like, like, we could have fed so many people with that. We could have fed so many people with our programs. And somebody comes in and is like, wants to just break that before Jesus and put their trust in and say, Lord, I'm going to do that. And Jesus looks right at them, at the disciples, because they're the ones that were questioning all the Christian ones, like, right? And he's like, guess what? Everywhere the gospel goes, this woman's going to be talked about. That's sacrifice. That's pouring out. That is, bless, Lord, all that is within me. That's like, Lord, I am trusting you with completely everything. And I'm telling you, anytime we make a decision to give of ourselves or give or commit to something, say, Lord, I'm going to sacrifice my time, this amount of time, every day designated, and I'm starting small. That's great, by the way. Set realistic goals, build those habits, establish them. But the moment you make those, it's like almost the enemy is like, yep. You can do it the following day. Postpone it. 2 weeks later, right? No, January's coming. You know what? Actually, just wait until January. You're fine. Take a breather. All right, thanks, devil. And then you realize, like, wait a minute. Who am I speaking to, right? I'm just, hey, this is coming out of my heart. You know, these are the dialogues I had in my own life. So I'm just sharing this, right? And just like God has a calling for your life, Satan does too. Did you know that he has a calling for your life too? Devil can't create. So all he does is he just distorts. He takes and he wants to steal everything that God has placed and wants to give you another own version of your own calling. That's true with everything. That's what the scripture tells us. Be alert, right? Be of sober mind because devil's walking around like a lion. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, if you're wondering where it's at. Be alert of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, but he's not a lion. It says like a lion because there's the only true lion of Judah. Amen? Like a lion seeking, right? Like a lion looking for someone to devour. Resist them standing firm in your faith. So you can only resist them if you have faith. All right? So that means you have to build that faith up, right? Because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. So everybody, nothing new under the sun. They're dealing with the exact same things, right? Our salvation or our love for God is not like a crock pot, you know? Like, you know the phrase they say, set it and forget it. Just walk out, right? It would be great. But it talks about continuously trusting God, seeking his face. God rewards those who diligently seek him. Haven't you found God? No. Yeah, you found the God, but then you diligently seek him. It's a relational thing. I found the Lord, but I rediscovered that when you love your wife, but then you notice that through years you get to know them deeper and deeper and deeper, and there's so many more things, and it becomes so much stronger and stronger, right? You're continuously seeking, you're pursuing that, right? I'm telling you, just devil is so persistent. The moment you begin seeking God, like he's trying to there to annihilate you. Because the treasure, you carry the treasure. Me and you carry a treasure. The moment you said yes to Jesus and you begin to be living your life set apart from this world, you will have resistance, right? Because you're carrying the treasure. Devil doesn't attack what's not valuable to him. He attacks because you hold value in the kingdom of God. You hold value to him. Amen? That's what scripture says in Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Your heart. Your whole mindset, right? Focused on God. Amen? And wherever God is, devil is right there to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what it says, John 10:10, right? The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, right? And the Lord says, I have come that you may have life and you have it to the full, amen? So devil is not obviously running around with a pitchfork screaming, ah! Like, did you notice that? He doesn't do that. It would be great because we can quickly recognize him like, yeah, okay. Okay, chief. He doesn't walk around saluting with a voice, I want you, Vic. He doesn't do that with a creepy voice, right? It would be great if he did, because then we could be like, oh, yeah. Like, why don't you do this sin? I'm like, okay. That would have been easy. But devil ain't like that. He is not like that, right? I feel like I'm preaching in the South. Devil ain't like that. I was in the South. It makes sense, starting to rub off on me. So he's actually considered the angel of light. Yeah. You know, look, it says 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. That should be very alarming and warning to us, right? Whenever I read children's book, one of their favorite stories is from the beginning, Adam and Eve and stuff like that. And it's called The Sneaky Snake. And every time I say it, I say, it's the sneaky snake. I don't know why. And they laugh. But then they're like, yes, that's what devil is. He's clever, you know. He shows up and just like with the sneakiness, the craftiness, right? Just steals a little bit of your time here. Just a little bit of compromise over here. It's not a big deal, right? Just a tad bit of your time, just a little bit. Just go check that out. Just keep scrolling. You know, feed you a little bit more on the Facebook feed. Just a little bit more. I love using this analysis in the airline industry. You know, they give you a flight plan, right? Is that correct? They give you a flight plan. And I was just flying, when I was flying to Florida, I was stuck in Seattle for the longest time. The flight airplane is there. Everything's good. And I'm like, what's the problem? And they're like, we have not received the flight plan. These pilots flew this flight many times, but they won't go without a flight plan. It's known for a fact that that place where I'm going knows exact coordinates, and they know what which altitude I'm coming in, where I'm coming from, and stuff like that, right? 1 degree, you think not a big deal, right? But if you look on the map, if you 1 degree at first doesn't matter, but eventually you keep drawing that line, you go from here to here. At first, it's not noticeable. It's in the little things, right? The devil's crafty. He just wants 1 degree. Just give me that one little degree. Just a little bit. Every 60 miles is a mile. Whew. There you go. Coming from a FAA specialist. Brother Merzina. Thank you, Matt. That's how quickly it's a slippery slope. And that's why it says he's crafty. He's like an angel of light. That's why Jesus had no problem recognizing his voice when all of a sudden he tried speaking through Peter. He'd be like, oh, save yourselves, right? And God is like, what? Get away from me, Satan, right? So what happened to Saul? How did he lose what he had? In my opinion, I think it seemed like he was just 1 degree off or a couple of degrees off. Because look at this, 1 Samuel chapter 15, so you know where it's coming from. Verse 17 through 21, Samuel said, although you were once small in your eyes, talking about humility, person can quickly lose that, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king of Israel, and he sent you on a mission saying, go and completely destroy those who wicked people, Amalekites. Wage war against them until you have wiped them out. This is such a prophetic thing because when the Lord comes to our lives, he wants us to be set apart. He's like, hey, that... It's you're either in or not, right? Verse 19, why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on a mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, the king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best what was devoted to God in order to sacrifice them to the Lord, your God, at Gilgal. It's amazing how quickly he lost track. And then when I was reading that, I noticed that it says, there's two gods he's referring to, but Saul just made it into one. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord, your God. You see what I mean? Because every different people had their gods, right? So literally what Saul was so without realizing that he's literally taking what belonged to a different God. And he's like, I'm bringing it up to the Lord, right? So God gave Saul a task like, hey, go over there, take down the city. God will be with you, you know, and things like that. God says like, destroy, don't take anything. All of that has to go. Saul does that anyways. He takes nice little things. It's always in the little things, like a little bit of treasure here and there. That's what he did. And then silver and gold, and he takes these animals. He offers them up. But how many know it's a bad idea? If you're trying to offer to God what he's telling you to get rid of, it probably won't end well. Or you're literally offering to God while like we're making things holier, you know, ourselves. We're like, I mean, it can happen in families, you know. It can happen in anybody with anybody. Like, you shouldn't date them. Probably not a good idea, right? You're like, I'm going to make him Christian. And you realize their walk with the Lord, and you're like, I don't know if you can. You're not even stable on, you're walking on stable ground. Like, you can't pull somebody out of, like, some soft ground if you're like not standing on the rock, right? If your feet are not planted in God fully, it's hard to do that, right? And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to take things that are like we like and we're just like, it's not that bad, God. Like, or try to offer that to him, right? So just be careful with that, right? Offering God to what he's telling you to get rid of. And I believe Holy Spirit is speaking to all of us in so many special ways. And God is pointing a finger right now in your heart, probably on certain things. And you're like, you were still not sure because you possibly considered it sins with benefits. You're like, yeah, I don't know. Holy Spirit is in this place right now. And I believe God wants us to live a full, victorious life. God didn't call us to walk around in defeat, just holding pattern, same thing over again. Jesus was tempted, exact same thing, said he did not, and he did not fall. And the following verse immediately says that, but you are God's creation, right? You are with God. He will lead you, right? God can help you walk through that if you fully surrender. If you truly say, God, I'm sick of it. I really am because I'm sick of this holding pattern. But God will never force that out of your hands. He will never take something that you enjoy. He won't. He'll say, all right, how can I put something new into your hands when you're holding on to that vig? Right? So when Samuel comes to Saul, Saul's like, I'm a good Christian. This is my own version interpretation. Yeah, right? I did the best I could. Why are you blaming me, Saul? And Saul, why are you blaming me, Samuel? And Samuel's like, you weren't all in. You didn't do it what exactly I told you. That's what I'm telling you a lot of times in our lives. We can be doing everything, like I said, 99% things right, and devil's just like, I just want that little smidge. And we will miss the completion and strong power that God called us to walk in victory, to be successful, to acknowledge God in all of our ways, to genuinely have success with God in all things that we do. It doesn't mean that you won't have trouble. It just means you'll have strength. You have the Lord at your life. You're like, God, I acknowledge you when I wake up. I go to my work. Guess what? The kingdom of God goes with me wherever I go. I don't go and partake in the people that are doing evil or they're cracking jokes that are displeasing to you, Lord, because my heart is set on you, right? I'm all in. And Samuel was like, Saul's like, but I think I did. That's why in 22, verse 20, he says, but Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed is better than the fat of rams. To heed to God, to surrender to him. It's like, that is the greatest sacrifice you can do. Obedience is one of the greatest expressions of worship to God. Sometimes we'll put on a good performance, right? Everything looks cool on the outside. But what about those little things that we allow but slowly are deteriorating and eating out of us? Today, I just pray that the Lord would speak to those things, that we realize it's not coming from some kind of anger or obsession. It's God's passion saying, I just want all of you. Like, I can't imagine if my wife was marrying me and she said, Vic, I love you so much, but once a year, I would like to go and see my ex-boyfriend. How would we take that? How would I? Like, what? Woman, please. What? But that's what we do oftentimes. Yeah. I did that with God so many times. I was like, yeah. Going back and just quarterly flirting with the world and stuff like that. And so those things, those temporary pleasures, a lot of them, they'll destroy us. And that's what the enemy's ultimate goal is, to get that one degree and destroy you. So you will not end up in that destination with eternity with your Father in heaven. Proverbs 21:2 says, a person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart. Again, talking about your heart, where everything flows out of it, right? And when God comes into your life, he doesn't want anything that doesn't belong to him to be there, right? It's just like when my wife made a decision, she's like, I'm all yours, Vic. I'm your wife. That complete surrender, right? Just knowing that I belong to you now. Because scripture tells us that we are his temple, right? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? How beautiful is that? Knowing with the fact that the Holy Spirit chose my body to dwell in is probably one of the greatest revelations I've received in my own life that helped me overcome and walk in victory, knowing that this is no longer my temple, but it's the temple of the living God. Took me many years. So don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. I want you to walk out of here with confidence like a lion, walking and knowing that my confidence is in the Lord, right? Greater is he who is in me than he is in the world. He just wants us to have that pure heart so the devil doesn't have a leash on us or a hook, just a tiny little hook where he can hang his jacket on and be like, okay, I can build off that. I can work with that. I've forgiven everybody except my aunt. I just can't. The Lord's like, you literally could be 99.9%, but if you do not forgive, neither will my Father in heaven. His words. If you ever declared any of those kind of words, I just break that in the mighty name of Jesus. And I want you in your heart to break that over yourself and say, I release. You need prayer, come forward and we'll pray afterwards and anytime. Because we cannot give hooks to the devil. He'll use it to the max. Just so you will not live a wholehearted, completed life that is surrendered to him. Because devil knows, if he can convince you that you're just made that way, and you hear a lot about those nowadays, right? You're just created that way. If he can convince you, then he will know that you will be content in that state of mind, and you won't repent. Yeah. I'm just like that. Deal with it. Right? God is like, but I have come to set the captives free. And you think that's freedom, but that's slavery. You can't live without that. Holy Spirit, I just pray that, Lord, this is just speaking to every heart right now. In Jesus' name. Please give me a few more minutes. How many of you know that habits, anything, they don't start with small, they don't start with big things, right? They start out small and then they grow into habits. Concept of reaping the harvest refers to good and bad. You get out of what you put into it, right? In Galatians, but check this out. Galatians warns us in chapter 6, verse 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. It continues as, for the proper time, we will reap the harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers, right? It's talking about sowing. Sowing. What are we sowing into? There's amazing things to sow into. People can sow into that. That's why it says, hey, if you're going to sow into good things, like especially those who belong to the body of believers and things like that. Because people are sowing to other things, their attention on everything like celebrities and all that stuff and their concert. And like, oh my gosh. Whoever think about it, if we had, who's the most popular person in America? I don't know. We'll just use, let's say Matthew McConaughey. All right. Okay, most average people, we can. I wonder, put any celebrity in here right now, if they were to like walk out of here, how many of our attention would be like, oh my gosh, he's here. Like if it was Messi in the soccer world, like, yeah. But when you think that there's God, eternal God, who created us, who ultimately, he just created the whole universe. And not only that, he's standing there and look at me and you says, my son, my daughter, I love you. That's why I praise the way I praise him. I can't wait to show you how I praise the Lord when I'm not on drums. That's why I'm praying for a drummer. Because I cannot be still. I cannot keep my whole praise. That's why when I give unto the Lord, because everything I have belongs to Him. My attention and stuff like that. And devil's continuously fighting. I'm not perfect. Trust me. Everybody that knows me closer, they know I'm far from perfect. But let me tell you something. But there's something within me that just wants to please His name. And every time I'm worshiping, I'm like, the God of heaven is standing right here. And I am coming here before to fall before my King. That's why He's worthy of my praise. That's why I can pick up my hands. That's why I can say, Lord, You are so worthy of my praise, right? Because He is worthy. He's the King of kings. Who can, all people, celebrity, they will pass away. But that's just a litmus test of where's our attention, right? Spiritual progression and regression is a result of what happens in the secret place. So what seeds are we allowing, right? Because it's, you know, we're sowing and reaping, right? This is what it's about. Because we can put on a good performance like Saul. Tall, dark, and handsome, everything, you know, doing all the things. But what happens behind the doors? What happens in our heart out of where the things are flowing from, right? What happens behind the public eye? Or we allowed some back doors just a little bit open there just to let the devil, like, yeah, you know, a couple of things, go ahead and take this, a little bit of here. And we're just exchanging things. Let me just say this. God cares more about what is unseen than is seen. The unseen world is a lot bigger. It's eternal. It's real. Okay? But again, our spiritual growth or decline, it comes out of our secret place, right? And the Lord is asking us today, and as the Lord asked me one time in my own life, like literally 5 years ago, He said, Vic, what altar do you have in your heart, right? An altar of sacrifice of praise, an altar where you're laid down before the Lord, or altar of secret sins, or whatever it is, that are stealing my full attention, that are stealing full attention from me. That's what the Lord asked me. And I want this to be a deeper word. I don't want it, you know, it's not about like, you know, it's not about shouting message or everything like that. I want the right word from God. Because that's what God does. If you want to have the best doctor, right? When you go to the doctor, you want him to say, hey, don't worry about it. As long as you're enjoying life, that's all that counts. And that doctor is looking right at the cancer stage 4, right? Or whatever it is, or maybe early on. It's amazing because God gives us so many chances. The door of the ark of the Noah's ark. The door was open to the very last minute, but at some point that door closes because the flood comes, because judgment is coming, right? And so while the door is open, it's just like the Lord is looking. I'm like, hey, we can get a little catch. You're on stage 2 maybe right now, you know, with this world before you go into full destruction. Or you, let me just tell you this. And you can turn your life around before the Lord. But notice that. That's coming with the love of God. Did you notice it's not coming out of, like, you, sinner, you. It's coming, I love you, son. I love you, daughter. I want all of you. That's what I want ever since that I started praying. I take a moment and I just shut off and everything and say, God, You are worthy of all my attention right now. Everything. It's no longer I who lives. Christ who lives in me, right? It's because all of a sudden you understand that your body is a temple for Him. And you can have victory and you can have confidence in that. Oh, nobody can shake you. It don't matter what's going to happen. It doesn't matter who's going to be the president. It doesn't matter how big and if Christians are going to be persecuted or not. I have that confidence. I can walk boldly right into the storm and my job area and everything is falling apart on Wednesday and know that God is at the throne and I'm just walking in God's light and with God's purpose. I'm walking with Him and He's walking with me because it's coming out of my secret place with Him, right? I have an altar of praise, not an altar of sin in my heart. You know, it's just the reality is this. As I was flying, the Lord said, Vic, there's not enough messages about losing what you have. There's not enough messages being preached about protecting your treasure. Don't we care? Like, if you have something very valuable, I mean, you care about where you put it, right? You don't just leave it tossing around. You don't throw it in the toys kids box, right? That can happen sometimes if you're a parent, right? All of a sudden, like, what is my wallet doing in here, right? I'm just telling you. But the reality is, if your house isn't protected, don't be surprised when you're being attacked, right? The enemy is persistent, so I have to be consistent. You know what consistency I'm talking about? I'm going to read this over you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Hang with me, please. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, because, you know, our children, we're pretty good at putting a show for kids in front of for our parents, but how much more in my absence? Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, you to will and to act in order to fulfill his purpose. Because God ultimately is doing this for your own behalf. He's doing this for our own behalf, saying, continue to work out your salvation. Now, fear and trembling, that fear is not the kind of fear we're talking about, being scared of everything. Fear is referring here to fear of God. It's being afraid of being without God. It is being afraid. I'm like, God, like, have you seen the children when they don't have parents nearby? Like, how do they act? Like, even like when I was playground, I noticed Lev for a moment. He's like almost like a destruction, like this fear comes over. I'm like, where's my parents? Lev is my son, my youngest one. That, the kind of fear. Where's my parents? How can I go without my God? That fear. It says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We're working out our salvation. It says there's always progress. So be encouraged, okay? If you're not there, you're working out your progress. You're moving. You're repenting quick. You're moving along. So don't be disappointed. You're working out your salvation. Amen? There's anointing on your life. There's anointing on my life, right? And devil works overtime so you could lose that anointing. So you could just lose that treasure that you have. Saul lost it. David nearly lost it. We talked about cutting corners, taking things into your own hands, and even later on. Because in chapter 12 of Luke, verse 2 and 3 says, there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight. Pay attention, hear this out. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight. And what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. That's a major warning, right? What David did in the secret when he took Uriah's wife, his son Saul, Absalom, he did it on the rooftops. All the things, it's just, I'm telling you, the reality is this, right? And the great, you know, father of Abraham, Jacob, David is considered, right? Son of, technically, his great-great-grandpa was Abraham and Jacob, right? And Jacob nearly lost it, too. Most of his life, Jacob put on his good front. If you guys remember the story of Jacob, he's the one that he was called heel grabber, right? He was cutting corners. He was like, mom was like, let's steal the blessing, things like that. He was a deceiver, right? But guess what? What he did in secret was open, because Laban later did exactly the same thing to him. Sowing and reaping, right? What was in the secret? What was in the secret place? It came out. That's why later when he realized, he was like, he went back, he was like, that ain't right. How many years passed? He goes back to that place, in a secret place, he starts seeking God. And he goes, Lord, I will not let you go until you bless me. He literally went back, and he had to go back to that place, to that secret place. Because that's where your true identity is found. Amen? Last scripture, I promise. In the book of Revelation, God is addressing the church of Ephesus. And I believe it's a warning to us as a church. This church was doing good, and it talks about they do all these amazing things. We're talking about how we can be like literally 99% doing right and 1 degree off. Look at this. Revelation 2, God is addressing this to Church of Ephesus. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. Sounds pretty good, right? And you have tested those who say they're apostles and are not, and have found them liars. So they're doing a great job. If you have persevered and have patience, have labored in my name's sake, and have not become weary. So you're doing all these things. You're doing all the good things. Nevertheless, verse 4, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Jacob, remember that. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Right? Repent and do the first works. It's another translation saying, like, go back to where this first thing happened. I remember specifically, you know, struggling with one addiction. I'll share it with you. I mean, some kids are not, but it's sexual, porn. And I remember specifically when the Lord finally, it's like, remember when you have first fallen. And I went back to the moment, what allowed that to happen? I believe the Lord wants to finally bring you freedom. And I'm ready to pray for you, whatever is needed. But I'm telling you, when you have first fallen, when you come back to that place and you repent and you say, and you give all of yourself and say, God, I didn't go in all in at that moment. And I allowed. And then what happened years later of struggle, addiction, coming back. It's a holding pattern. Remember to the first love. That's the key. When you first were loved by God. And I'm telling you guys, today I believe the Lord is reminding us. Every one of us had this encounter where you first experienced the Lord. And if you haven't, I want this to be yours. I want this to be your day. And the Lord's like, come back to that intimate, close place where you first found me, loved me. How much feel that love of God in his arms. He's gently standing, knocking, right?
Thank you for listening to our message. May the Lord bless you and strengthen you. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, please visit whitefieldsalaska.com. Thank you.